Today is the 23rd of December, the eve of Christmas Eve. The day that I'm going to go out and brave the wilds. And not the kind of wilds that I like either. The wilds of traffic and malls and crazy people like me who waited to the last minute. So pray for me today. I may not come back. But I think that I will. I think that I'll make it. It's just not going to be fun. But I have a few things that I've got to get. It's been kind of busy around here and I'm waiting to the... I didn't mean to. It just crept up. So I got to go out and get a few things for my family. It's too late to order them online. I blew it. I've got to wade out into the craziness. So before I do that, I'm going to firmly root myself, and hopefully all of us, in the Word of God. We're reading from the book of Zechariah, chapter 4, verse 1 through 5, 11 today. Then the angel who had been talking with me returned and woke me, as though I had been asleep. "What do you see now?" he asked. I answered, "I see a solid gold lampstand with a bowl of oil on top of it. Around the bowl are seven lamps, each having seven spouts with wicks. And I see two olive trees, one on each side of the bowl." Then I asked the angel, "What are these, my lord? What do they mean?" "Don't you know?" the angel asked. "No, my lord," I replied. Then he said to me, "This is what the Lord says to Zerubbabel. It is not by force, nor by strength, but by my spirit, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Nothing, not even a mighty mountain, will stand in Zerubbabel's way. It will become a level plain before him. When Zerubbabel sets the final stone of the temple in place, the people will shout, 'May God bless it. May God bless it.'" Then another message came to me from the Lord. "Zerubbabel is the one who laid the foundation of this temple, and he will complete it. Then you will know that the Lord of Heaven's armies has sent me. Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin, to see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hands. The seven lamps represent the eyes of the Lord that search all around the world." Then I asked the angel, "What are these two olive trees on each side of the lampstand? And what are the two olive branches that pour out gold and oil through the two gold tubes?" "Don't you know?" he asked. "No, my lord," I replied. Then he said to me, "They represent the two heavenly beings who stand in the court of the Lord of all the earth." I looked up again and saw a scroll flying through the air. "What do you see?" the angel asked. "I see a flying scroll," I replied. "It appears to be about 30 feet long and 15 feet wide." Then he said to me, "This scroll contains the curse that is going out over the entire land. One side of the scroll says that those who steal will be banished from the land. The other side says that those who swear falsely will be banished from the land. And this is what the Lord of Heaven's armies says. I am sending this curse into the house of every thief and into the house of every one who swears falsely using my name. And my curse will remain in that house and completely destroy it, even its timbers and stones." Then the angel who was talking to me came forward and said, "Look up and see what's coming." "What is it?" I asked. He replied, "It is a basket for measuring grain, and it's filled with the sins of everyone throughout the land." Then the heavy lead cover was lifted off the basket, and there was a woman sitting inside it. The angel said, "The woman's name is Wickedness." And he pushed her back into the basket and closed the heavy lid again. Then I looked up and saw two women flying toward us, gliding on the wind. They had wings like a stork, and they picked up the basket and flew into the sky. "Where are they taking the basket?" I asked the angel. He replied, "To the land of Babylonia, where they will build a temple for the basket. And when the temple is ready, they will set the basket there on its pedestal." Revelation 14, 1 through 20. Then I saw the Lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him were 144,000 who had his name and his father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a sound from heaven like the roar of mighty ocean waves or the rolling of loud thunder. It was like the sound of many harpists playing together. This great choir sang a wonderful new song in front of the throne of God and before the four living beings and the 24 elders. No one could learn this song except the 144,000 who had been redeemed from the earth. They have kept themselves as pure as virgins, following the Lamb wherever he goes. They have been purchased from among the people on the earth as a special offering to God and to the Lamb. They have told no lies. They are without blame. And I saw another angel flying through the sky, carrying the eternal good news to proclaim to the people who belong to this world, to every nation, tribe, language, and people. "Fear God," he shouted, "give glory to him. For the time has come when he will sit as judge. Worship him who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all the springs of water." Then another angel followed him through the sky, shouting, "Babylon is fallen. That great city is fallen because she made all the nations of the world drink the wine of her passionate immorality." Then a third angel followed them, shouting, "Anyone who worships the beast and his statue, or who accepts his mark on the forehead or on the hand, must drink the wine of God's anger. It has been poured full strength into God's cup of wrath, and they will be tormented with fire and burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and the Lamb. The smoke of their torment will rise forever and ever, and they will have no relief day or night. For they have worshipped the beast and his statue, and have accepted the mark of his name." This means that God's holy people must endure persecution patiently, obeying his commands and maintaining their faith in Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, "Write this down. Blessed are those who die in the Lord from now on." "Yes," says the Spirit, "they are blessed indeed. For they will rest from their hard work, for their good deeds follow them." Then I saw a white cloud, and seated on the cloud was someone like the Son of Man. He had a gold crown on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand. Then another angel came from the temple and shouted to the one sitting on the cloud, "Swing the sickle, for the time of harvest has come. The crop on earth is ripe." So the one sitting on the cloud swung his sickle over the earth, and the whole earth was harvested. After that, another angel came from the temple in heaven, and he also had a sharp sickle. Then another angel, who had power to destroy with fire, came from the altar. He shouted to the angel with the sharp sickle, "Swing your sickle now to gather the cluster of grapes from the vines of the earth, for they are ripe for judgment." So the angel swung his sickle over the earth and loaded the grapes into the great winepress of God's wrath. The grapes were trampled in the winepress outside the city, and blood flowed from the winepress in a stream about 180 miles long and as high as a horse's bridle. Psalm 142, 1 through 7, a Psalm of David regarding his experience in the cave. A prayer. I cry out to the Lord. I plead for the Lord's mercy. I pour out my complaints before him and tell him all my troubles. When I am overwhelmed, you alone know the way I should turn. Wherever I go, my enemies have set traps for me. I look for someone to come and help me, but no one gives me a passing thought. No one will help me. No one cares a bit what happens to me. Then I pray to you, O Lord. I say, you are my place of refuge. You are all I really want in life. Hear my cry, for I am very low. Rescue me from my persecutors, for they are too strong for me. Bring me out of prison so I can thank you. The godly will crowd around me, for you are good to me. Proverbs 30:21-23. There are three things that make the earth tremble. No, four. It cannot endure. A slave who becomes a king. An overbearing fool who prospers. A bitter woman who finally gets a husband. A servant girl who supplants her mistress. Words of Zechariah today reverberate in my head. I spoke just a few days ago and released sort of the end of the year talk, review, whatever we would like to call it. And I spoke the word that I really felt like God was saying over 2011 around here. And that word was retreat. Which, when I felt like the Lord was saying that, I thought was odd, since advance was the word for 2010. Until I listened a little closer and understood what the Lord was saying, which is, retreat behind me, I will go before you. Don't move unless I'm moving. And the words of Zechariah today really spoke deeply to that and should speak to us all, our posture going forward into the end of the year and into next year. It's not by force nor by strength, but by my spirit, says the Lord of Heaven's armies. Nothing, not even a mighty mountain, will stand in your way. Will become a level plain before you. It's fascinating that we have words like this from the mouth of our God, whom we serve, who we love and trust. And yet we seem so intent on accomplishing things in our own strength and by our own force. And so rarely do we succeed that you would think at some point, in exasperation, we would throw up our hands and go, okay, I'm never doing this again. But the thing is, we come to the end of ourselves, throw up our hands in exasperation. God sweeps in and saves the day, and we proceed to start all over again, doing what we might in our own strength. I don't know exactly what it takes to get it through our head that we don't have to do that. I hear so many people, including myself, I've said this many, many times. God likes to show up at the last minute. He just sweeps in at the last second, and we should just get used to it. And I think there is an element of truth to that. I think God loves to be the hero of the story. I think he's not worried, and we are. And he knows how things are going to work out. And he knows when to come. But I think a lot of that has to do with us. I think the reality is, is that God is a gentleman. He will not usurp our will. He will not overthrow our desires, including the desire to fall flat on our face. And so we set about doing things in our own strength, hoping and praying that God will bless it. And whether he is present in what we're doing or not, we expect that it will go well. And we expect that whatever it is, whatever it will be, what the return will be greater than what we put in. That's just how we look at things. And so we set about the task of falling flat on our face, wondering where God is in all of it. And it's really when we throw up our hands in exasperation and cry out because nothing else will work, we invite God into the situation. Had we done that much earlier, I don't think he would delay quite as long. It's all about us realizing who's in control here, who's sovereign. And we like to be sovereign. We can't be, but we like to trick ourselves to believing that we are. I do believe, indeed, that we would save ourselves quite a bit of time by trusting the Lord right out of the gate fully. Not lip service, but heart service. Truly knowing that everything will fail ultimately without our Heavenly Father. Period. It's not going to work any other way. The world isn't designed to function any other way. We were not created to live any other way. And we can't. Think about it. How far do we get on our own? I mean, we can fake our way from crisis to crisis. Or we can throw up our hands and surrender to the Lord of Heaven's armies, saying, look, son, look, daughter, it's not by force or strength. It's by my spirit. Not even a mighty mountain can stand but become a level plain in the face of my spirit. And so, Holy Spirit of God, the beautiful one, unspeakably beautiful, we call upon you, Holy Spirit, come. It is through and by you, and not by force or strength, that we live, that we move, that we have our being. Lead us on the paths of righteousness. Lead us forward into truth. Lead us deeper into Jesus today. And may we find true surrender before you and true comfort and intimacy in you. We love you. We worship you. And we invite you in Christ's beautiful, holy name. Amen. www.dailyaudiobible.com is the website. Come and get involved. There is a video, if you hadn't heard, that was created to show to your churches and to show to your friends. So go ahead and grab that at the website. There's a banner that makes it hard to miss. So if you would do your part in spreading the good news of the community here at Daily Audio Bible, then that'd be great. And if you're using it in some way, please email me, brian@dailyaudiobible.com. Let me know where it got played, what churches it got used in, just how you used it. I'd love to know. It's the first time we created a resource like this. We've wanted to for a long time. There was just not a way to do it. But now we got some help. We got Sarah Jane. She's doing her best to try to figure me out and keep life in order. And that's going to take some time because I'm complicated. And I have a lot of hats. And then there's Mike and Jennifer, who are heading up the missions department. And of course, all of this I speak of in the year-end talk. So I invite you and ask you, if you're part of the community here, to listen to that. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, you can do that at the website. There's a link on the homepage. The mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or comment, 877-942-4253 is the number to call. You don't have to carry things alone. You don't. You never will ever have to again, no matter how alone you feel. There is community here. You don't have to walk alone. So use the number. All right, I love you. I'm off into the abyss, as it were, to shop. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow, Christmas Eve. I'm Brian. I will see you then.
Hello, this is Claudia. I was calling for a prayer request, but first I want to say thank you to Daily Audio Bible, Brian, family. I just love listening to God's Word. And my prayer request is I'm praying for Charles Crawford. He's going to have a pacemaker put in December 10th, and I just want to lift him up in prayer. He's already a miracle walking. He's hardly working, like 16%, I believe they said. But prayer for Charles Crawford. Thank you, Daily Audio Bible family. God bless you guys. Bye-bye.
Hi, Daily Audio Bible family. This is Douglas from Seville, Spain. I'm calling with a prayer request. Our nephew, Ruben, was in a car accident 3 months ago, and he's been in a coma ever since. He moves, he can open his eyes, but he doesn't seem to see much or anything. He can breathe on his own, but the doctors say it's all reflexes and that his cerebral cortex is so severely damaged that it'll probably remain in a vegetative state. Ruben's parents have scarcely left the hospital since the accident, and they're living the worst nightmare that they can imagine. Like many Spaniards, they're unconvinced by Christianity. I beg you to pray for Ruben, for his parents, and for my wife, who's one of the most dedicated Christians I know. But her faith is undergoing a severe test. She says to me, God promises us, ask and it shall be given to you. But despite all my prayers, Ruben isn't getting better. And I try and tell her that we can't dictate to God when and how he's going to help, but I'm really at a loss to console her. We pray for a miracle and we ask you to help us. Ruben in Seville, thank you very much and love to you all.